Amen. We have the gift of having multiple musical talents here today, as our Taylor and Philip, who are usually here leading us, are in Scotland with the music team, the same one that processes down the aisle usually in the service, and of course Andrew, the organist, and others. So thank you so much for your offering today in worship. It's really beautiful, and we're blessed to be a part of it. We're in the John series. We are in the sixth week, and we're in the sixth chapter. You see how this is going. We're walking right through the Gospel of John chapter by chapter, and it still won't be enough, I promise, because there are so many stories that we have in such little time. But today we're coming to a beautiful one, as you heard from the reading today about the bread of life. Before we begin, let's pray over our time together. Holy and gracious God, may this time honor you and serve you and glorify you. May each of our lives and the callings that you have placed on them be glorifying to you. Send us forth from this place with a renewed spirit and a renewed sense of that calling. All this we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Since we've last been together, we had the story last Sunday, of Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. We had Jesus and his disciples on a road trip, if you will. Okay, they were going towards Galilee, towards Capernaum, towards Jesus' headquarters. And instead of avoiding the place that was always avoided by Jewish people, Samaria, instead of it, Jesus marches right through it. And he stops there at a well, and he met a woman. And you heard last week in the scripture reading that he offers her living water. And that this type of living water, it's so rich, it's so nourishing, that it'll never run dry. It will never be absent. It will always be there. And then today you hear that we have a different, a new ordinary element, but different, and we have bread. But this time, it's not just that Jesus is offering the bread of life. Jesus says, ego e mi, it means I am. Jesus says, I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me will live. It's quite the offer, right? It's not too dissimilar from last week. You heard Will read the beginning of chapter 6, and I want you to hear something specifically again as we set the stage for our time together. Because Jesus and his disciples, they've now reached the headquarters, this Capernaum town that they call it. It's right there on the Sea of Galilee. Okay, at the very end of the chapter, we're told that actually much of this was being taught in the temple. Jesus would have walked in to the temple. I've been there. Many of you have also, if you've been with us to Israel with St. Andrew. There is a place right there by the seaside. It's not too far from where Peter's mom's house lived. And that's where Jesus walks in. He goes teaching from town to town, but welcomed in some temples and not in others. Here, he's in Capernaum. And Jesus has just given everyone proof. He's just given everyone proof. Remember that story you might have heard as a kid where Jesus walks on the water? Yeah, that just happened right before chapter 6. Remember that story where Jesus gathers thousands to the hillside and starts preaching, and then they get hungry, and his disciples say, just send them home, send them to the local market, right? They can fend for themselves. And Jesus says, no, hand me those loaves and fish. And he multiplies them and he feeds thousands. Yeah, that just happened right before this story in John chapter 6. These stories of these miracles, healing a man at the pool of Bethesda, all of these things have ramped up, and that's what's happened between John chapter 4 of last Sunday and today. So put yourself in the disciples' seat for a second. They have just followed Jesus through sign after sign, miracle after miracle. If you are a person like many of us are who want evidence, you want proof, right? This is the time where you look and you say, who else walks on water? This is the time when you look and you say, well, I was starving that one day. I went and followed a local preacher, and all of a sudden, not just myself or my friends were fed, but thousands and thousands were fed. It was miraculous. I don't even know how it happened. If we were following Jesus, these are the stories we would be telling at the dinner table over the last few weeks, okay? And so the disciples, they stay with him. Of course they do. And many others follow. Because who isn't attracted to abundance? Who isn't attracted to someone who can offer solutions? Who can offer hope? Who can offer sustenance when you're hungry, sustenance when you're thirsty. This is Jesus. He's gathered this large group, and they've traveled. And on their travels, there gets to be a point where basically Jesus says, do you really need more signs? Right? Like, have I shown you enough? Is what you perceive my resume to be enough for you yet? Or do you still need more? Right? And that's where we come today. You heard the beginning of the scripture reading. It might have sounded a little out of context because it says they found him there on the side of the lake. That's the Sea of Galilee. And they said, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus said, very truly I tell you, you're looking for me, not because you saw the signs, not because you saw the healing, not because you saw the walking on water, but because you ate the loaves, right, at the feeding of the thousands. You ate those loaves and you were filled. This is so on point for us today, is it not? I was thinking this week about when are the times I talk to God the most? When are the times I'm most ready to pray, most in the mood to pray? You know when that is? When life is really hard. When I want something. When I need something. When I'm desperate. Those are the times that it's really easy for me to say, wait, Jesus, come close. But you know when it's really easy to sometimes forget that our strength comes from the Lord? You know when it's easy to forget that everything we have is His? When things are just smooth. When they're smooth. You don't want the waters ruffled. You don't want the waves to come up. And He says, look, you followed me because you saw. And not just because you saw signs, but then you ate and you were filled. You were satisfied. In a what have you done for me lately culture and human condition that we all have, right? There, what have you done for me lately is pretty tangible. I was hungry and you fed me, right? They just came from down from the hill of the feeding of the 5,000. But Jesus turns it on its head. Jesus, the one who offered that great food, that great nourishment, He says, but don't work for the food that spoils, but work and believe for the food that endures to eternal life. For on Him, God the Father has placed His seal of approval. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and you still do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. You know what I thought about when I was preparing the scripture? Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Can you imagine having that certain of a relationship, that certain of a person in your life that you know they are perfect? Now, many of us might be thinking of someone that we perceive that we love, that we enjoy deeply, that we admire, and they are pretty close to perfect. But only one person has ever lived who is perfect, yes? And that man's name is Jesus. Jesus, God. And Jesus offers not only bread, not only the need that comes up in the circumstance, but Jesus says, whoever comes to me, I'll never drive them away. There's a prayer that someone had sent me recently and asked me to review it. And it's from the 1800s. And there's a line in it and it says, for you are my only certain hope. And I love that. In a world filled of uncertainty, in a world where we're constantly trying to discern who can we trust, who should we love, who should we be in relationship with in community, and Jesus says, if you start with me, I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. I said a few weeks ago, there's a really important preaching point in the whole Gospel of John, and it's this. Jesus is not the key to the lock. Jesus is not the one who can solve problems and then you discard it. Jesus is the one that you're to love. And the disciples, they follow him and they see things. And it could be so tempting as we are as humans to think, this guy will fix things. Yes, this guy will solve all my problems. My friend's problems, my family's problems, my town. You can imagine it would be so attractive because they are thinking, this guy will kick out Rome. That's their current problem, these first century Jews. They perceive Rome, the powers of Rome, right? That have been hindering them, that have been oppressing them. They think that they're just waiting on a Messiah, some guy who is going to be anointed enough to kick out Rome, to get rid of the problem, today's problem, tomorrow's problem. And what they get instead is a guy who sits with a Samaritan woman at a well who was never supposed to be in the same area and vicinity, much less conversation with a Jewish man, and he offers her living water. Remember, she ran into the town. She's the first herald of the gospel. And then today, we have his disciples. And they come to him, and you can imagine, every person brings with them their own baggage, do we not? We all bring our own list, almost like as if Jesus is Santa. These are the things I want. These are the things I need. These are the things I'd like fixed. We all come to God. And you can imagine the disciples no less would say, Lord, like Simon, who his mother-in-law is sick. A personal petition, right, on the behalf of the Gospels. Jesus, but could you help me with this? And while Jesus can, is that the only function of Jesus? Is that the only thing he's there to do is to solve one problem at a time? He's there to bring about a whole new kingdom, to bring about a whole new hope, not just problem solving one at a time. And this week I was reminded that far too often we hope too small, you and I. We hope far too small. We ask for too little from God. What we think we're asking for might be a piece of bread, but what we're really asking for is to not be left alone in our worst moment. We think what we're asking for is to draw water from the well with Jesus, but what we're really asking for is hope that we're not going to be abandoned despite our latest misstep. You see where this is going. We hope far too small. We come to the communion table and we look for a snack to go throughout our day, and what's actually here is the body and the blood of Christ. What's actually here is eternity wrapped in hope and in this symbol, this memorial that Jesus has given us to say, you're hoping too small, but I'm here. By my grace, it goes so far beyond the things you can ask. You can ask me for things you can see, but me, I have access to it all. I am God, you can imagine Jesus would say. But then I kept reading. And this is the part where usually preachers stop. And so it's tempting to stop, but I want to take it further because I think you'll enjoy what it has to say. John, who is writing this, remember he's the beloved gospel author of this, he says this. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors, they ate manna in the wilderness, yet they died." Right in the Old Testament, when they beg the Israelites, they've escaped, and then they beg for food. God sends down manna, bread, literally from heaven. But they're still mortal, aren't they? They still die. They experience the last things. Jesus says, but here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And the Jews listening, they begin to argue sharply among themselves. You can kind of imagine like a group huddle over here, like, did we just hear that right? They said, how can this guy give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So the one who feeds on me will live forever because of me. You see, the communion elements and the reason that we have this sacrament isn't just because we were looking for ordinary elements that Jesus referenced one time. It's because Jesus gathered around the closest disciples and he said, okay, I want to tell you something you've never heard before. Instead of bringing your sacrificial lamb and instead of going through these old traditions that we've gone through in the Old Testament, I have a new idea, actually a new command, a new reality. that if you just for a second were to consider that someday I love you so much, I'm going to give myself for you, and that somehow you're going to always remember it. And that when you receive these elements that I'll give you to remember it, when you receive them, you'll be changed. You'll be transformed, because in you there will be life. Real life. Not hoping too small kind of life, but this vast grandeur of life. You want to know what kind of life? Eternal life. I officiated a funeral service recently, and usually the scriptures are pretty common that are selected by the family for those. And for the first time ever, this was the scripture selected in one I officiated. And it was beautiful because I asked the family, tell me about this. Tell me why this came to your mind. And they said, well, Lauren, isn't it so clear? If we're going to love and miss the person that death now separates us from, we want everyone to hear that we know that he lives. Isn't it so obvious? And they were saying it just like you would imagine. Isn't it so obvious? John 3:16 is read, at weddings. Or isn't it so obvious? They said, Lauren, the bread of life and the cup of salvation, like, those are essential to our belief in this faith because they remind us to not hope too small. They remind us that while death separates us now from that person that we love, that we have full confidence that they are alive in Christ's presence. Why would we not want that read out, proclaimed, shouted from the mountaintops on the day that we choose to remember our loved one? And I thought, of course, it's right there. Did you hear it? Jesus says, very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. You don't need to work up that resume. You don't need to make sure that you have all the right pieces in your own puzzle in order to enjoy eternal life. The one who believes. Could it be that simple? From this time on, many of his disciples heard what Jesus had to teach. Jesus said, does this offend you? He said, then what if you see where the Son of Man were to ascend where he was before? He is the Spirit. And when the disciples turned back and some of them no longer followed him, he looked at the remaining and he said, you do not want to leave too, do you? Like any good leader, right? Checking with the rest of the contingency. Some other people are leaving because they can't imagine this vast hope that Jesus is bringing. Some people are leaving because the signs weren't even enough, because walking on water is not enough for some people, because being fed thousands from just 2 loaves and 7 fish is not enough for some people. But for others, he says, you don't want to leave too, do you? And one of the most famous verses in the whole Bible is responded. Simon Peter answered him. You can imagine boldly stepping up to the podium, as it were, with the rest of the 12 behind him. Simon Peter answered him, but Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. I love that part. That's the part we stop way too short every time we talk about the bread of life, because what happens is that Jesus is doing all of these things, and that the disciples, though watching, some are confused. And they doubt, and they fall away, as it says in scripture, that phrase, fall away. But others, they stand there, and maybe just as confused, and maybe with just as many doubts, but they stand there, and they put 2 feet down, and they don't leave. And Jesus says, do you want to go? Right? They have the choice. Jesus is not looking for hostages. Jesus is looking for followers, for lovers of his soul. And they stand there, and Peter, the emblem, the voice of the group. But Lord, to whom else would we go? There's no other option. There's no other clear person that is called by God to not only be the Messiah, but to be God. For you alone have the words of eternal life. In the Bible study that I teach right before this, we were talking about the God who sees, which is a phrase that's used often in the Old Testament. And what I want to leave you with is this, is that if you feel like you're in a moment and you feel like God either doesn't see you or isn't responding to whatever you're bringing him, I want to assure you that we worship the God who sees. The God who sees, the God who knows, the God who has gone before you already. And that where else could you go to get this type of eternal life? What other bread will actually be as fulfilling? What other drink will actually be as nourishing? What other life will be better than eternity? For you and I, we worship the Lord in whom alone has the words of eternal life. Praise God. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, as we come to the communion table, to the altar, we come with a different sense of knowingness today, with a realization that this wasn't an accident of a sacrament, that this was a command. This was a hope beyond all hopes. This was an intangible and a tangible coming together so it would reflect your Holy Spirit and your work among us, God. That in the bread and in the cup, that we find ourselves living. Praise God. This world needs life and more of it. God, would you give us the richness that is the hope of eternity and the trust to do what you say simply, to believe, and in you experience eternal life. All this we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.